All right, folks, we're winding it down here. You are listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Since we last talked, when we were listening to Air, we heard Bardo Pond with Ecstasy Dub from Volume 3, recorded back in 2002, released last year on vinyl by Fire. Helene Sage with a track from a comp that originally came out in 1984 on United Dairies called In Fractured Silence. Her track was called Frisons dans la Coquille, Nurse of Wound, other people on that. Really great comp. Soufflé Continue reissued that. We really dipped into the Soufflé Continue catalog today. Biota, the amazing Biota with Astray from their 1988 album Tinked. Ka Baird, brand new, comes out in a couple weeks on Revenge International. The album is called Bearing Soundtracks for the Bardos. That track was Gate 11. Some cool videos out there to check out too. Philippe Doré and La Associus. This is another thing on Soufflé Continue. Recorded live in the late 70s. The album was called Le Composant Compositeur. The track was called Dans le Dédale, something like that. It's live, pretty awesome. And this is Robert Cahan, more French stuff from the Recollection GRM collection that came out. This came out in 2022, recorded in the early 70s. Track is called Pureles, La Neuf des de Forfo is the name of the album. Might be able to sneak in one more track. Stay tuned. Thank you.
will surely die.
How are you? It's been so long, at least since last week. My name is Mona. Cream of Coil was amazing. But now it's me time. We have really special guests today. I'm very elated to welcome Anya Hu from Exmal Deutschland. She has a brand new solo album out, and she I was really glad to take some time to talk to her about the new album and her history with Exmal. And then we have Midnight Magic coming to the studio for a live in-person guest DJ set. It's going to be amazing. So fasten your seatbelts, lock the doors, and keep the dials super glued to WFMU. Let's start things off with the first single Exmal Deutschland ever put out. This is Schwarze Welt here on your WFMU, and then we'll go into the interview.
Hi, this is Anya, Anya Huwe, formerly singer of Exmal Deutschland.
Welcome. I'm so excited to have you as a guest today. I am a big fan, and I just want to start and tell you how much I enjoy Codes. It's an amazing album.
Thank you very much. Great to hear.
I feel like it was a surprise for me to see kind of out of nowhere this come into my inbox that you were making new music. How did it start for you? What brought you back to music?
Well, you know, I got lots and lots of requests over all the years, you know, asking if I would be interested in going back to music. And I always said, no, I work as an artist and that's really it. You know, that's my past. My friend Mona Moore, who I worked with on Codes, she has a studio in Berlin and we are very, you know, long-term friends, really. So she always tried to convince me to go back to music. And again, I always said, no, Mona, I'm not doing this. At some point, 2020, I got a request from someone from Tel Aviv asking if I would be interested in probably being part of a song and if he could send me some lyrics and a bit of like a basic track. In the beginning, I said, well, not really, but yeah, if you want to send it, send it. There was nothing really to do because we had like the big gap in brackets, you know. So at some point I just took my iPhone and started singing to this basic track. I used my own words and some of the words they sent me. And I thought, this is not too bad. I sent it over to Mona to Berlin. She can have a listen. And she was really sort of, how did you do this? I mean, this is amazing. Why don't you come to Berlin and we just give it a try? If you don't like it, just forget about it, but just come over. So I took the train, we recorded it. It is the track Skugornas, which is the very first one on the album. And well, we started working on things and I really sort of kind of, I have to say, I enjoyed singing again, you know. So that's how it all came into, yeah, was rolling in a way. And at some point, I was talking to Yishai, asking him, where is your family from? So he told me a bit of his family, about his grandfather, all this history. And I more and more went into his sort of family story, history. And then he told me that his grandfather, when he was very old, started writing his life story as a diary, which everyone wanted him to do because it was so fascinating. So he translated a few things to me and I was really sort of blown away about the story because his grandfather left his family when he was 17 and went into the Belarusian woods, like in the war, and lived there for almost 3 or 4 years and joined the partisans in there. And this is a bridge. I know quite a few refugees who came from Afghanistan and Iran via Belarusian woods, and I know how extremely dangerous it is to be in there. You have swamps there. It's really dark. In winter, it's extremely cold. And so I was so fascinated by the fact to live in a woods. What does that do to you? The nature, you know, and how do you survive? Is there happiness? Are you frightened by things? So it got bigger and bigger and bigger to me. And I started creating my own poetry out of this thing, which was in the beginning called The Codes of the Woods to me, but it was down to codes to me. And me and Mona started writing or creating an atmosphere via music and words. And it got more and more and more into the situation where we thought, this could be an album, really. It could be an album. So that's how it all started.
Wow. That's amazing. What fascinates you about, like you were saying in, I was reading in the press materials that these themes of the forest and darkness and fear were attractive to you. What brings you to these themes?
I don't know. Maybe it's like the whole situation that we live in right now. I mean, there is a lot happening around us, especially in Europe. You know, it's tiny. Europe is tiny. And you have all these really bizarre things going on, you know. So like the certain rules or the certain codes don't really exist anymore. It all changes, you know, like right wing, the whole political situation, all these, you know, I call them parias, you know, people who sort of rule certain countries, who intend to very, very strange things to people. And the behavior is really bizarre. It wasn't like a few years ago. It's getting really, really sort of into a direction which I don't really like. I mean, I'm not talking about politics really, but it's the human behavior, you know? I mean, there are rules, but there are no rules anymore, it seems, which I find really difficult. So we were talking about these things all the time, and this theme, wood or nature, or are we still used to it? I mean, are we able to survive in surroundings like that? I'm not sure. We all have handies. We have, like, you know, iPads and whatever. So we live with a constant communication. But what happens if you don't have any communication anymore? Then you have to go to your basic sort of instincts and try to get yourself in a situation where you are able to have food, have a warm sort of nest or something, you know, and how does that work? So it was pretty obvious to at some point go to think about this and create something like this, which worked because Mona was the same. And then Manuela came in as guitarist of Exma Deutschland. And so we sort of built up these pictures, you know, for us. Yeah.
The imagery is so strong on the album. And it's interesting because it's there's quite a bunch of different languages that you use for your lyrics. So even if I'm not understanding all the time, I feel like it's still food for imagination, which is really interesting. How do you pick what language you're composing in and even switching in between songs?
Well, first of all, I mean, the English language is much easier to use for songs, you know, because the German is very strong language, and there are certain words there are more words for one thing than in the English language. But there are, for example, words like in Rabenschwarz, in the single, which is Raven Black. I mean, you can also say black, but you can also say raven black in German. That means it's a stronger word. And we have also a word in there which is in German Mutter Seelen allein, which means mother soul alone, which is like a very old German word which you cannot translate. And so I try to use words that not everyone uses. They are sometimes hard to sing, but the way how I sing or, you know, write my songs is different compared to others, because I like to use these words, like very strong words, you know. And I always did that, even with Exma Deutschland, I did that. So I try to avoid this normal kind of, you know, love song something. And I want it to be strong. It has to fit to the music.
And your first single on Codes was Rabenschwarz. Please excuse my language, my accent. and your first single as Exma Deutschland was Schwarze Welt. Was black? Uh-huh. Was that on purpose?
I didn't even think about that. That's interesting.
I thought it was a nice nod to the past and like
an amazing, yeah. Yeah, no, I never thought about that. Thank you.
Maybe subconsciously.
Yeah.
So speaking of, I mean, it's interesting to have your first ever solo album now. You said why you started working with Mon Amour and bringing Manuela back, but I guess what made you feel confident or feel good in doing a solo album at this point?
It happened accidentally, I have to say. Being like with Mona in a studio was completely different to work together than to be in a band like with five people. Because in a rehearsal room with five people, you always have to compromise. And for example, to work with Mona was more direct. I had my poetry. She had sounds. We brought it together. We found a way, we put more sounds in there, changed things. But in a rehearsal room, for example, it was always like five people and I was the fourth one or fifth one. So I had to compromise because at those days I was like influenced by the music and then I wrote my lyrics onto the music. So I was not like a singer-songwriter who has a guitar and writes, you know, words and da-da-da, you know, finishes. I never did that because I was not used to that. But for me at this time, for the solo album, it was a completely different way of getting things together. And also, I'm more or less analog and Mona is more digital. And so that's a huge difference compared to like analog work. And it was interesting to constantly learn how you can sort of change things and arrange things differently and not always go back to, oh, let's do the song again, you know, record it again and again and again. No, it's like, no, you can sort of split things and see how it works. It's interesting, you know? Yeah.
I was thinking it must be interesting too to like be going through the release campaign again in this climate versus like when you were doing it the last time was a totally different world and a totally different method for releasing music and promoting and things like that. Is there anything that you're liking or disliking about this new method?
It's the same with me and my art. When I'm doing art, I enjoy when people are interested in my work, I enjoy talking to people and, you know, meet them face to face and see why they want a piece or something. I find that really interesting. But it's the same with like interviews. I mean, we have to do this interview this way, which is good. But then again, I would love to sit in front of someone. It's completely different because, you know, the whole behavior and of communication is different. It's the way it is, but I find that a bit different, you know? I mean, it's the way it is, you know?
Yeah.
So you have to compromise in a way.
Will you get to be doing any touring so you can see all the different people and all the different fans in person?
I'm not sure yet because we never thought about it. You know, we just finished the album and we worked until the announcement, if you want so, you know. I mean, we constantly worked and then the announcement came up. And since then, it's like an explosion, you know. I get so many requests and people coming to me and asking me things and, you know, want us, of course, to play live. But we don't have a band right now. So I'm not sure, you know. I mean, in the beginning, I said never, ever again. But maybe we find a way, maybe not the usual way, maybe with like visuals or more arty and maybe other spaces. I'm not sure. So we have to at some point make our minds up. So might happen. I wouldn't say no anymore. So because I see the reaction, you know, so and I do understand why people want to, you know, probably see it on stage. See what happens.
I wanted to talk a little bit about what, you know, when you stopped making music and switched more to visual art, or were you making visual art the whole time while you were making music too?
Well, I started at the same time when I started with being in Expo Deutschland, but the decision was pretty clear, you know, but when, because I mean, either sit on a table and do all this scribble and stuff, which was different too at those days, or to move to London and, you know, be on stages and record records. So there was no, I mean, you know, I haven't thought about it. So I just gave it up. I wouldn't say I gave it up, but I put it to the side and started making music. And at some point I went back into art because it was very logic to me to just, you know, go back to art at some point and, you know, just me and my work and not to depend on anyone. So that was pretty natural for me to go that way.
And for the listeners who can't see, because I'm seeing you in the interview, I believe there's a piece of your art behind you. It's beautiful. Yeah. If you can kind of explain your visual art to the listeners, what so they can imagine.
Yeah, I have this this thing called synesthesia, which means I can see. I mean, color and music. It's a combination for me. So I hardly can remember sort of numbers and names are really difficult for me. I remember faces, you know. I could probably when I see you somewhere in the streets, I could say, oh, I talked to her, you know. So and I had this thing like even when I was in Exmo Deutschland, I hardly could remember the names of songs. So I always said, can we play this red song or the blue song? And everyone was like, oh, God. But then I met Charlie Burchell of Simple Minds, and he had the same thing as a guitarist. He said, you know, I have the same thing. And I thought, bloody hell, I'm not alone, you know. So I did some research on it. And at some point when I went back into art, I could really say, I mean, these paintings, which you also see, they are like songs, you know? I mean, notes. Blue is like, you know, A, and red is, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I started working or creating my own songs, but with color, you know? So they are pretty big, like very big, like 2 to 3 meters. And I sit on them and dot them and, you know, do this constant circling sort of thing. They are all circles and dots. So to me, they are songs, really.
They're very beautiful. They're like viscerally beautiful. I feel like it, the same Thank with you. Your music. It really is. It brings up an emotional response. And it's.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. how do people see your art actually?
Where or how?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, well, the lockdown was difficult, you know, for everyone. So so I had to give up my studio. And right now, you know, I'm just the problem is really is I don't have time because I concentrated on music and it was getting more and more and more to do. So I hope maybe at some point this year I can go back and do some stuff. But there are so many other things that I'm about to do right now, like, you know, all this artwork. We did a video, me and a friend did a video for Rabenschwarz, which will be out at some point. And I work on a scene for, I think it's the Brooklyn Art Brooklyn Museum of Art. It's like scene for Exmo Deutschland and one for Coates with like pictures and photos and art and little bits and pieces. So there is a lot to do right now to sort of, you know, get this whole thing done. And probably and maybe we have to rehearse for like live shows. So we don't know yet. So, you know, there's not really space for like exhibitions right now, but maybe at some point again. Yeah.
I wanted to talk a little bit about your singing because I think it was an unlikely, it was kind of chance that you were became the singer of Exmo Deutschland. And then, but your voice is so strong. And even after taking such a break, I think your voice is stronger than ever. How do you, do you practice? Are you training? Is just natural?
It's natural. I didn't expect that, to be honest, you know. My voice is definitely stronger. Yeah, that's what I think too. And I was surprised myself, you know, because normally the voice changes. But I just went into the studio and just did it. And even Mona, she was really sort of, you know, I would say confused. She said, how do you do this? I mean, where does it come from? You know, just like this. So I don't know.
Just magic.
Yeah, to me too.
Is it, were you comfortable as the front woman? Like, I think of Karen Carpenter, I guess, as another person that was an unlikely. She wasn't, she wanted to be a drummer. She didn't mean to be the singer. And I feel like it felt very uncomfortable for her to be in the spotlight. But how did you feel?
Yeah, that was pretty much the same for me. I didn't want to be in the spotlight. I mean, for various reasons, I always was, but I wanted to be part of a band and not like, as I always say, I didn't want to be a pop singer or a pop star or anything like that. So I tried to always, even when I was in X-Mein Deutschland and I was singing, I was the front person, yes, but I always said I am part of this band. You know, it's not me and a band. So I didn't like that. So in the beginning, I was playing bass and did just a bit of singing, but the singer didn't turn up in the studio when we recorded the very first single. So everyone looked at me and said, "You are the one now." So I just did it. It was the same with playing live. You know, I always said, okay, I do this, but I will never go on stage. I will not sing in the public." So even that was organized by my band, my ex-band, and I just had to go. You know, I mean, I had no choice. I had to go. So I did it. And suddenly, when we then at some point, we played with DAF in Germany, and I watched them how they sort of did it, like from the backstage. It was pretty interesting to see how it looks like from the back, you know, and not from the front, see a band. And then very soon we moved over to London, and we played the very big places in the beginning with like the Cocteau Twins, and that's where I started getting into it. The same like Liz Fraser. I mean, she wasn't really keen on being in front of, you know, on a big stage or something. That seems to be pretty common that lots of, you know, singers don't really sort of look for this sort of thing, you know, but you get used to it and you get better and better, of course, at some point, if you sort of decide to be the front person. Yeah.
And I think as a woman in the music industry, even today, I think there's some challenges, though I imagine it's gotten better. Do you think it's gotten better for women in the music industry?
I don't know really. Yes and no, but there are certain things that will always be like they are, and you have to some kind of just show them how it works in a way. I mean, with X-Mein Deutschland, for example, I mean, you guess you can imagine like five women or four women, and being in this industry, in this very male industry, we always thought, I mean, there is no difference between women and men. So come on, you know, just show them how it goes. You know, I mean, that's what we always did. We went on stage, and you know, I looked at Manuela, and she looked at me, and I said, "Just give them a go. Just do it. You know, just blow them away." And we did, and so everyone accepted it. But you have moments, even today, where you think, I mean, who are you to tell me how this works? Who are you? And so I think me and also others, I guess, we always try to be better, louder, you know, clever, more clever, you know, in every way, you know, whatever I do. If I go to my gym, I want to be the best. If I sing, I want to be the best. It's like a competition in a way. But then again, it's not, because I mean, who are these guys to tell me how it works, really, honestly, you know? So that happens, definitely always happens. But you know, you have to just ignore it and say, yeah, come on.
Yeah,
You know,
exactly.
I mean, what can you do?
Exactly. I find I struggle with being less passionate about it because I think when you're emotional, then people start to,
Yeah.
I don't, But anyway, well, let's.
If you're passionate about things, you know, if you're passionate, you can really show them, you know. And so there is a bit of a difference then, you know. It gets into a competition. I mean, I have the same thing. There are people out there who are completely. I didn't expect me to do a solo album because I didn't tell anyone. I just worked, you know. I didn't do that to let everyone know I'm still here, you know, I want to do it. I just did it. And so people come up to me like guitarists or musicians saying, "Why didn't you ask me?" And I could have done and said, "No, why should I?" You know, Manuela's there and Mona, we are a super team. So why should I, you know? Who are you?
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's awesome. I think in general, I'm very impressed with the trajectory of the career and how effortless everything kind of seemed, even though I'm sure it wasn't effortless. I'm sure you put a lot of work and time and energy into it. But I think there's never been this look at me kind of attitude, but you still... XML Deutschland has millions of streams and is still like included in the canon of like iconic post-punk, goth, whatever you want to call it. And the new album as well feels very like effortlessly powerful. And I'm really excited for it. I can't wait for everyone to hear it next week. Codes is coming out March 8th on Sacred Bones, as well as a reissue of the early singles, right?
Yes. Yeah, they are.
Yes. Is there a song on Codes you would like us to play?
Exit.
Okay. Can you tell people about it?
Well, it is a pretty strong song. I mean, word-wise, you know, it is pretty dark. Like exit, you know, like the exit is a strong word too. It's about survival. And I love this trip-hop-ish sort of very doomy and dark sound. I like it. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Maybe I'll see you at some point when I'm in New York again, okay?
I hope so. We'll be waiting. We'll roll out the red carpet.
I will let you know.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, darling. Bye.
Just put a window in your eye. See the sun, see the rain, see the window, see the pain. See the sun, see the rain.
Thank you.
Oh, hi. We now interrupt our program for a required weekly test of the emergency alert system. That was a required weekly test of the emergency alert system.
Thank you. still going on. And my friends, they're ready to go. You turn around. Oh, I smile at you. That's when you shut down. I give you all these clues, and you still don't know what to do.
Funky beat,
funky little beat,
rocking in the streets,
You are tuned into WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City, and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Finishing off that little mini ode to last night, which was so much fun. That was Nomi Ruiz with Be Your Girl. You heard the Arabic piano and Dr. Feel remix. Nomi was in the house last night. Connie with Funky Little Beat. I can't remember which DJ played it last night, but that was a fun moment as well. Andy Harriman delivered an incredible set as always and topped that little mini set off with Midnight Magic, Drop Me a Line. Andy, Tiffany, and Julio from Midnight Magic are in the house. They're setting up for their guest DJ set. Also in that last hour, you heard Coil with Windowpane and Anya Huvet with a worldwide premiere here on WFMU with her new track Exit. Her album Codes comes out a week from today on Sacred Bones, and you should really check it out. It's a fantastic collection. I'm such a fan, as you could probably tell by my gushing during that interview. So thank you to the Sacred Bones crew for setting up that interview, particularly Carrie, Irene, and Charlie from Sacred Bones. Thank you so much. My name is Mona. I'm here with you till 6 o'clock. We're going to play a little Midnight Magic now to get in the mood as we finish setting up. And then after we hear Beam Me Up, we're going to play the original version. Shall we do that? Or shall we do the Prince Thomas remix? I love Tiffany's, like, it's your world. To take control, girl. I'm like a very much a hostess, so I'm like, what do you think we should do? Let's play the original. Beam Me Up, Midnight Magic here. Welcome. After Beam Me Up, you're going to hear their DJ set. Let's go.